This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things they don't do on Broadway. They have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, my hometown.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Frankie for you. Frank's a lot. In fact, that's not the number one Chicago song that he's known for. My Kind of Town. Chicago, but both of them are good ones for him. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us on Freedom Works. It is Wednesday, April the 13th. Wow, we're moving along in this month, are we not? Two more days until you got to pay your taxes. Probably not two more days. It's always extended somehow. I know, Ed, you'll know better than I do, but technically.
Technically, it's the 18th, so it'll be Monday.
Monday. Why isn't it the 15th?
You know, I have no idea.
Everything is completely mixed up in the Biden administration, including when the hell you have to pay your taxes, okay? That's the way things go. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation, and we are going to talk about how she thinks the Biden administration actually wants to eliminate women's sports. Get rid of them. Now, that to me does not make any sense. But let us listen to her reasoning on that. So stay tuned for that. And the March inflation numbers are out. And Biden is hiding, not only in the cellar with these numbers, he is hiding in the corner of the cellar behind a big table, so that you cannot see him with the lights out. And these numbers are keeping him there while Texas buses are dropping off illegal immigrants. Did you know that? In front of the White House? So we got all kinds of great news for Joe Biden. We're going to talk about that a little bit later with the proprietor of the barber pole, who I am sure is wringing his hands, Angelo Cerasi. So stay tuned for that. And we are going to take a look at a U.S. congressman from Hawaii, who never bothers to show up in Washington to do his job. As a matter of fact, he's been doing it for a while, and you don't know about him. Well, you don't know about him because he's never around. However, we are going to oust him, or out him, or whatever the word is. We want to oust him, but we're going to actually out him. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And we got a goodie for Top 10. It's really kind of updated because we've done it before, but the Top 10 states right now, with the lowest gas prices. I want to see if Ed is really up on the news, if he doesn't peak, and if he really knows what's number one. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, Easter is Sunday. There is no better time to get ready for the Easter Bunny and for the wife with the bonnet and the whole bit and the eggs. Without a haircut. You got to get a great haircut. You go to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. You'll get the best haircut. You're going to get a great price. And you're going to go to a fine place. You cannot go to a better place for a haircut, man, than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza just north of State Road 580 Main Street. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. So you got today through Saturday. Let's go. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Well, there was a lot of news yesterday. They got this nut that apparently got on, and Ed, you're from New York. Maybe you know the subway line. I guess it was going, if I think if I read this right, it was going from Brooklyn to Manhattan. And this idiot gets on, and he's got a, he's got the whole bit, okay? He's got the backpack, and he's got gas canisters, and he's got a gun, and he's got other instruments in there. And as he's pulling into one of the stations, I think it was in Brooklyn, he drops a gas canister out. Everybody panics. Then he starts firing the gun. He leaves everything. He leaves the truck. He leaves, I think he left something like his credit card. He might as well have just left everything. Maybe not his credit card.
Yeah, one of the stupid criminals.
Real stupid.
First off, I grew up in Long Island, so I've never seen a subway. So I've never even been in one.
You're kidding.
No.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
You grew up in Long Island. Long Island, you never saw a subway.
Yeah. Suburb of Long Island. You don't have subways there.
I mean, did you travel anywhere than a
as far as my two wheels would get me, my bicycle,
no,
yeah.
No, but how old were you when you left?
11.
And in those first 11 years, you never saw a subway?
No.
You sheltered boy.
Well?
You sheltered boy. You mean they never took you on a subway trip to, say, Manhattan?
No.
You poor guy. No. You missed out.
There's what, the filth and the pee and the
well,
strange
yeah,
people?
Got, yeah.
And but, shootings?
Yeah, you missed out.
I mean, that guy, I guess he kind of disguised himself with a vest, one of those reflective vests to make it look like he was a worker.
Yeah.
Or to kind of blend in. And, of course, we're going to, he shot 20-some-odd people, and we're going to hear about the...
He shot about 13, but there was another 25 that got
We're going to hear about
problem.
The gun control, and everything, but I don't know. He also brought gas canisters, so maybe we should outlaw gasoline, too.
It's crazy. And then, of course, none of the stupid security cameras are working at the station. None.
Yeah, but there were ones leading up to it that they didn't get the actual...
Oh, no, they got a picture of them, so yeah. We know who it is, and they're going to get
They're looking for them.
They're going to get them.
They got everything they need.
Yeah, there's no question about it, but for all of the money they spend there, for infrastructure, and they can't keep the cameras on.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. Anyway, things in the Ukraine. Finally, Biden, who is always leading up the rear. He's behind the elephants in the parade, and the elephants are the last thing in the parade. So what does he have to do, right? Biden called the actions of Russia in the Ukraine, quote, genocide, unquote, for the first time yesterday. He says, I called it genocide because it's becoming clearer and clearer that Putin is just trying to wipe out even the idea of being Ukraine. Now, finally, I agree with something that he says. He says the evidence is mounting, as if it's not been there for a long time, that he's trying to be a monster genocide perpetrator, whatever you want to call him. Of course, he was doing this in reference to his attempt to tell people that he wants to lower the price of gasoline. And he's going to lower it a few cents with this new, I don't know if it's a corn or ethanol or whatever you want to call it, that's not going to do anything. Nobody's going to barely notice any difference. And he won't do he says, we're doing everything we can. No, they're not. No, they're not. They have spiked the price of gasoline with their actions. He wants to call it Putin's price hike. As if that's going to stick. I mean, you have to be a complete or near complete dodo to believe that Vladimir Putin is responsible for all of the inflation hike in energy prices and food prices and everything else. But, Biden is sticking with the script. You got to hand it to him. I guess there are some people that actually buy into that nonsense.
Have you seen the stickers on the gas pumps?
Yes.
With Biden pointing to the gas,
yes.
The price, and say, I did this. And now there's one with Kamala that said, we did it, Joe.
As a matter of fact, they arrested or they detained somebody that was going around and slapping that little sticker
oh, really?
On the gas pumps. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen them, you know, a lot on a gas pump outside, but I have seen them.
What about
the pictures?
What would that charge be? Common sense?
I tell you what, common sense is what they don't have.
Yeah, so that's why they would arrest them.
For too much common
that means,
sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, this, we should put Putin's picture on there. We'll blame Putin. Let's blame Putin for the entire concept of humanity, as long as we're at it.
Maybe that's what Joe's doing in the middle of the night. He goes sneaking around the guard to the gas stations and puts Putin's sticker on there.
I would not put it past him. The only thing that would keep him from being able to do that is all of his infirmities.
I'd ask Joe to autograph one of those.
That would be very, very thoughtful. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, speaking of things that Biden is responsible for, Sarah Perry is going to talk with us from the Heritage Foundation about how the Biden administration actually may want to eliminate women's sports.
Sugar pie, honey bun. You know that I love you. I can't help myself.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ain't it good to...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Well, the Pennsylvania House of Representatives passed a measure yesterday. It designates sports in schools across the state by biological sex. It prohibits transgenders from participating in female sports. Now, it was passed 115 to 84, and it was called the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Passed through the House. It's moving on to the Senate. But the Democratic governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, has pledged to veto it. He says, as states across the country push transphobic, he calls it, transphobic legislation, some Republicans in the General Assembly are wasting time attempting the same in Pennsylvania. He said it won't get past my desk. Well, we've got Sarah Perry with us. She is a legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation. She actually works at the Meese Center there for legal and judicial studies. And she has penned a piece in the Daily Signal that says that Leah Thomas, now that's that swimmer, that transgender swimmer, was just the beginning. Biden administration wants to eliminate women's sports. Wow, Sarah, do you really believe the Biden administration is out to eliminate women's sports?
Well, I don't know how else to interpret it, and I'm going to tell you why. When you expand the definition of sex in federal anti-discrimination law, and specifically in the one law designed to level the playing field for women in education, and you expand it to include gender identity, someone who believes they're a woman, regardless of what their underlying biology is, I'm not sure if we can describe it any other way other than the elimination of biological sports.
Yeah, I mean, you have to... I mean, just to carry it to its logical conclusion, anybody with half a brain realizes that if you put men, biological men, you know, on a diving platform or a swimming platform or on a track, they're going to win. they're going to win.
Absolutely.
And it's going to discourage women from achieving these kinds of things. Everybody knows it. Now, why? Why do you think the Biden administration, are they anchored to the far left that much that they will actually cut their own throats on this?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you how we know that. The first action by this administration was an executive order, 13988, that expanded sex to include gender identity. And that was the executive order in which, on the day of his swearing in, the president directed all heads of federal agencies to review any anti-discrimination law within the context of their enforcement and make sure that it aligns with sex as gender identity. And what he took as his rationale was the Supreme Court's decision in Bostock versus Clayton County. Now, a little background about Bostock. Remember, this was the case specifically expanding sex discrimination to include gender identity discrimination, but only for the purposes of employment. Here's why it's different. Title VII, the law at issue in the Bostock decision, deals with employment and is what's called sex prohibitive. In other words, you can't consider someone's sex at all, even if it's 1%. And because he specifically said, Justice Gorsuch writing for the majority, that sex cannot be considered without considering gender identity and vice versa, the two are closely enough related that we find it a prohibitive consideration of sex. Now, by comparison, Title IX, which is the penultimate example of anti-discrimination law specifically on the basis of sex, actually requires consideration of biological sex. And in fact, the language, both in the text itself and in the underlying regulations, makes specifically clear that these considerations are the reason that Title IX was passed, so that both sexes and each sex, indicating only two, were provided equal opportunity under the law. To change that now, and particularly on the 50th anniversary of Title IX, is really nothing short of hubris on the part of this president.
Yeah, I mean, it goes against the concept of trying to equalize things. And when they carry it forward, you know, into sports, you're going to, I mean, I feel, in a way, I feel sorry. Now, Leah Thomas, as most people know, is that swimmer. I forget what school she swims for.
University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, it is in Pennsylvania. And I feel sorry for her. I wonder if she was pushed into this. But she's clearly a man. You can look at her. She's built like a man.
Yep.
She swims like a man. And she wins like a man. And it's turning away women. It's turning away women from the Biden administration's principles. This is why it's so surprising that he stands so staunchly behind this.
Well, and let me tell you, Paul, I really feel as though this administration has made the advancement of a transgender agenda sort of its pet project. From the outset, he made very clear that one of his goals was to ratify the Equality Act, which expands the definition of sex to include gender identity in every civil rights law and every public accommodations law in the nation, while eliminating religious liberty as an opportunity for disagreement and avoiding the requirements of that particular law. But to take aim particularly at Title IX, which is only an anti-discrimination law protecting women. In other words, we have other anti-discrimination laws in America that specifically protect multiple classes of individuals, race, religion, national origin, sex. But this particular law was advanced by feminists, of all things, who are in many cases very silent on this. And it was designed specifically to equal the playing field. We've seen an increase in 1,000% in the rate of participation for women's collegiate athletic involvement, and 94% of female executives played competitive sports at the high school or collegiate level. So there's clearly a distinct impact on permitting identifying individuals who believe themselves to be women, even though they are biologically men, to eliminate opportunities for slots on competitive athletic rosters, scholarships, playing time. And it's not just those manifestations. And it's not just sports. We're talking also about any other sex-segregated space, bathrooms, locker rooms, dorm rooms, overnight housing accommodations, single-sex admissions to, for example, all-girls schools or all-males schools, gone. At this point, Paul, the elimination of Title IX, which is ultimately what this regulation seeks to do, is going to change fundamentally the face of American education.
You know what I'm thinking, Sarah, as you're talking? All your points are so noted, very well and eloquently said. I'm thinking back to before all of this stuff happened. All these rules came along, all of them, you know. And I'm thinking back, because I go back a long way. I'm thinking back into high school when the girls were playing their sports and the boys were playing their sports and growing up and all. And we didn't have any of this, not even a thought towards what. So it's like somebody came along at some point and said, we've got to change something, and they start tinkering. And I'm thinking, if anything applies to, if it's not broke, don't fix it, it's what's happened to women's sports.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
This is, it's ruining it for these people.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to tell you, the woman who's leading the Office for Civil Rights at the Department of Education, Catherine Lehman, was also the Secretary for Civil Rights under the Obama administration. And if you remember, at the waning years of the Obama administration, one of the last things the Department of Education did was to send a Dear Colleague letter that opened up every bathroom in America to transgender individuals. It was sort of that parting salvo that forced every public school, every school in receipt of a single dollar of federal funding. And that's a lot of them, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we think it's direct money funneled from the government, if you take a Pell Grant from a student, if you take a dollar of a reduced lunch government program for disadvantaged students, it's all the same. So we're talking thousands and thousands of schools that will be affected by this. Well, she's back at the helm now at the Department of Education at the Office for Civil Rights. And she has been quoted in her previous years as saying, listen, we were working at breakneck speed, trying to achieve as much justice as possible. And I'm going to use air quotes there because I'm going to tell you her definition of justice is turning the notion of constitutional representation, democracy, where you seek the good of the majority of people, knowing it can't be perfect for everyone, but you really do want to do as good for as many people as possible. And the 51% of Americans that are women are being subjected to the ideology of the 0.6% of transgender individuals. And I have to tell you, it is not only as a mother who benefited from the protections of Title IX, but also as a mother of a teenage daughter who's on a competitive sports team right now, I find it heartbreaking.
Yeah, I can imagine. We're talking with Sarah Perry, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, and she's written a piece for The Daily Signal about Leah Thomas. Leah Thomas, just the beginning. Biden administration wants to eliminate women's sports. Finally, Sarah, I want to ask you, the NCAA, and I'm thinking about all of the women's, like women's basketball, which is very big now, college women's basketball, and a host of other women's sports that are coming along, women's softball. All of these things that the NCAA is going to have to step in. Have they made any kind of a definitive ruling regarding transgenders?
Well, here's what they've done. If they have ruled by not ruling, in other words, they have turned it over to each individual sport, each management organization. So, for example, NCAA swimming has decided to include transgender individuals. NCAA tennis may have a different rule, and NCAA basketball may have a different rule, and we won't know until these sports enter the next season. And I think many of these NCAA sports are waiting to take a nod from the Department of Education, and where we are in this rule development is ultimately waiting for this rule, it's currently at the Office for Management and Budget. It is a last stop before the federal government rubber stamps its approval on a new rule to ship it back over to the Department of Education, and then they will publish that rule before it's ultimately adopted.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think we're in a waiting game.
Yes. My colleague Ed Davis has a question for you, if he might, Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah, I was just going to say, basically mirror that, maybe the NCAA and all rest of America. I mean, women's swimming is not a high profile sport, but things will probably get ramped up. Say when a transgender woman shows up on the women's Duke University basketball team at 6'10" and 375 pounds, I think that they start taking action a lot quicker.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting because University of Pennsylvania did have its own response to the inclusion of Leah Thomas within the competitive sports field within the swimming team. So I have to tell you, there are swimming coaches that have come out and commented. A number of the girls have quit the teams. I think what we're ultimately going to see is this diminution in the participation of women, particularly at the college level overall. And once they begin to remove themselves from college sports, and that economic impact is felt, and that admissions impact is felt, if this rule is, God forbid, adopted, I think we're going to see the next administration try to right the ship on Title IX.
Yeah, and you know who is one of the biggest opponents of all of this nonsense? Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
The former Bruce Jenner. Mm-hmm. The decathlon champion. Go ahead.
Thank goodness, because I think Jenner recognizes specifically that this is a patently unfair advantage that biological men have over women. Listen, from denser bone mass to muscle mass to greater lung capacity, greater muscle twitch response, the numbers of impact and the levels of physiological advantage are hard to quantify, and they begin in the early years of puberty. But now we're seeing studies, particularly some states, in preparing to pass their own sports laws that are protective of girls and women in the athletic field, have started to do earlier studies on competitive advantage, and they're realizing that sports advantages actually begin in pre-puberty, talking 10 and 11 years old.
You mean I was even faster than the girls when I was about 4 or 5 years old?
All this is going to be difficult, and finding a women's size shoe in the 22.
You're right.
You got it.
Sarah, thank you so very much. You really are knowledgeable. I've enjoyed this conversation with you thoroughly, and I hope we'll be talking again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Sarah Perry, Heritage Foundation. All right. We're going to take our break. Hey, when we come back, March inflation numbers painting Joe Biden deeper and deeper into his basement, while at the White House, Texas buses are dropping off illegals. Isn't that something? We're going to get some thought on that, as well as a few other things, from the master barber himself, Andrew Sorese.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, Wednesday. Delighted to be here with you. So, Joe Biden gets up in front of the microphone again yesterday. He said basically that they're going to be using this ethanol gasoline. I remember that from a few years back, and that's going to help reduce prices. But the consumer price index rose 8.5% in March. 8.5%. Think about it.
Yeah, this one confused me, the ethanol. Because we're pushing electric cars for the planet. But now we're going to up the ethanol 5% in the gas from 10 to 15. But the drawbacks of that is that it creates more pollution.
Yes.
Yes. Wouldn't it be cleaner and more economical if we produce more oil at home?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, the answer is yes. The answer is that we would have done
stupid common sense. I'm cursed. You know,
you're cursed with common sense.
Yes,
that's why you're not a far lefty. Okay, they have been cursed without common sense. They actually believe some of this nonsense that if we shut down pipelines, the things will get better and we'll get to our electric cars quicker and everybody will be happy.
Not to mention the damage that the ethanol does to carbon. You know, like small engines and stuff, your scooters, your motorcycles. The ethanol.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Gums up the carburetors.
Yes, like
bad.
A sticky.
Yes, and yeah. You'll have to replace your carburetor more often.
So he's calling it the Putin price hike and the Putin gas hike and the Putin this and the Putin that. Nobody, I think, with any common sense is buying it. But the consumer price index is now at a 40-year high in terms of its raise or elevation. And he's not going to get past that. Everything is going really bad for Biden. In the meantime, the bus from Texas arrived in D.C. this morning with dozens of illegal immigrants as Texas Governor Greg Abbott wanted to say a nice Texas howdy to President Biden by presenting him with a nicely packaged group of illegal immigrants. So I imagine we're going to have a regular bus route between the border of Texas and Washington, D.C.
I wonder what would happen if one of those buses pulled up to Andrew's shopping center there.
Well, they get free haircuts.
I wonder what Andrew would do. What would you do?
He would give him a free haircut. Andrew?
No, me. I'd have to charge him double and tighten the bill. What, are you kidding me? Well, you know, while you're speaking of that, I've got a letter from a woman yesterday that lives in Brooksville.
Okay.
And she said that she was outside of a Walmart, I guess, in Brooksville, and there were two buses that pulled up with illegal immigrants. They all got out of the bus, and the woman was taking pictures of this.
Really?
Yes. And she says they gave them all new clothes and was giving them vouchers for money.
Vouchers?
She asked,
yes.
Yes. And she asked what was going on, and the one in charge said, it's none of your business. It's people like you that are causing all these problems.
They said that to her, or she said that back to them?
No, they said that to her.
You're kidding.
That was in charge. No, she says, you're part of the problem. It's none of your business what's going on.
I believe it, because when I saw that same situation, except the buses, but I saw roughly 60 to 100 males standing there waiting outside of an office, it was the same thing. It's, you know, they wouldn't talk to me. I said, what's going on? And there's basically no habla.
Yeah. In fact, Fox News caught some of these things going on, and they would keep the people on the buses while the Fox News camera was running, because they didn't want to show the illegals getting off the bus at some thing. Well,
this woman called or sent this letter to me because she said she tried to get in touch with the governor's office here and couldn't get anywhere to let them know what was going on.
Wow.
You've got to find out what's going on here, so we can get some buses going, you know.
Yeah, in fact,
up to there. And he said he was going to do that, but let's get it done.
That's right. Governor DeSantis talked about doing the same thing. And let's salute Governor Greg Abbott of Texas for doing it. You know, he's also trying to build a wall. He's trying to figure out a way of And then, can you believe the hubris of the federal government trying to stop him? Trying to stop him from doing the job they should be doing.
That's right. Well, Paul, listen, they're out to destroy the country. We all know that. I mean, look what's going on. Like you were talking about with this woman earlier with the sports and everything. Well, you know, the Women's Basketball League has got something to worry about, because I understand LeBronda James.
Well, she's a very good player. Very good player. She happens to look...
Again, I still want to know why the transgendered men are getting into the women's sports, but I don't see any transgendered women getting into the men's sports.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Why is that?
I would love to see that either on the wrestling mat or also in the swimming pool, because you can imagine...
Well, they don't have any chance to win. It's lopsided.
So what? So what? It would still be a nice race. They would come in about in a swimmer about 35 minutes later.
I got some news for you. You might be interested in. I heard through the grapevine who a candidate for the 2024 governorship in the state of Florida is probably going to be.
Who?
He goes by the name of the Hulkster.
Hulk Hogan.
God. Terry Bollea.
Hulk Hogan. Yeah, Terry Bollea. Yeah.
I heard rig rumors. He's going to run in 2024.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
That ought to be a good one.
Why would he run against... I kind of thought he might be a bit conservative. Of course, who knows what he is?
Yeah, who knows?
I'm just thinking that now.
No, Hulk's kidding.
But we're going to see a lot of changes, but I heard a lot of things that are going on that I can't speak with you about right now, but you're going to be finding out a lot of things by November.
Oh, you're being very secretive with us.
Now, I can't say this one.
Okay, but it's not
secrecy.
I know. We won't try to have you reveal it, but it would seem to me it might have something to do with your connection to the DeSantis family.
It might have something to do with that. But anyway, it's going to be good news, I believe, for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we have to see what goes on. But did you notice yesterday when Biden was giving his speech outside and his little lapel, what happened?
Did something pop off his lapel?
A bird pooped on it.
Well, what a nice bird that is. Very intelligent bird.
On his lapel. If he pooped on his lapel, he missed.
It landed right onto the American flag.
Oh, you're kidding now. Are you kidding?
No, there's videos of it all over the place.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
It would have been funnier if it hit him on the top of the head. Of course, he might not have felt it now that I think about it.
I think what the bird did was telling him what he's doing to this country.
Yeah.
Hey, hit the flag.
Did you hear about, we were talking earlier, and I think Ed was bringing it up, about somebody that was going around to gas pumps and putting that little, I did that, Biden sticker on the pumps. Have you heard about that?
No.
It's really quite cute. I've seen them, not on outside, but I've seen them on
yeah, it's on the gas pump right next to the total price. There's a little thing of
I hand those out to everybody.
A little picture of Biden with I did that and pointing to the price.
I got hundreds of them. I give them to my customers.
Don't put them on the gas pumps. Apparently. The cops don't have a sense of humor about that.
No, somebody got hauled away for being caught doing that. But, God. So you were talking about Biden, and besides the pigeon pooping on him, he was trying to poop on everybody else by blaming Putin for everything. I mean, we can blame him for the Ukraine war.
I can't believe they got away from Trump. Now they're blaming Putin.
Exactly.
Why doesn't he look in the mirror and then say, this is who to blame? Because it's all Biden's fault. The inflation, the gas prices, the illegal immigration, okay? Even the new appointee to the Supreme Court that I can't believe the Republicans, a few of them, voted for. It's what's going on. And we see today, people are suffering, Paul. I see it every day. The elderly people.
There's no question about it. And those people on fixed incomes, when their gas and food prices rise... I really do worry about them, because I'm thinking they've got to cut back on things that perhaps are very important to them.
Yesterday, I happened to be talking to a so-called Democrat that I didn't know was a Democrat, and they were actually telling me they can't believe the global market is so high on the oil, and that seems to be the problem because of the global market. And I just looked there and said, you're really stupid, aren't you?
That was very diplomatic.
I can't help myself but say that.
Hey.
You know it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous what's going on. How can people not see that? Is the American public that stupid and uninformed?
Well, we were just saying.
They hear something on CNN and they believe it rather than researching it.
Yeah. I think deep down most people don't buy into that. But it's like you've picked your side and you're going to defend the people on your side, no matter how ridiculous it is, because you're part of the team. Hey, I want to...
Go ahead.
I want to mention from our last conversation when you kind of came out and said, look, there is a little bit of a rift between Donald Trump and Governor DeSantis, and you kind of took Donald Trump to task a little bit for some of the things that he was saying. And a lot of people have responded to that because, of course, they have, you know, they have known how much, how loyal you have been to Donald Trump.
Well, you know, Paul, I like Trump and I like everything he did. However, he starts talking about Ron DeSantis and he's saying the wrong things. You know, he cannot say he made Ron DeSantis what he is. He endorsed Ron DeSantis and that was it. Okay?
Yep.
He did not make Ron the man that he is. Ron made himself the man that he is in his upbringing.
Yes.
Okay? And when Trump sat there and said, I made him, I would tell Trump right to his face, you're wrong.
And you are correct. And I'm glad that you see kind of, you know, you're not blindly following somebody. Because there are some people that blindly follow Donald Trump. It's true.
And I can tell you this one. I would hate to see Donald Trump in a debate with Ron DeSantis. Because I believe Ron DeSantis would make hamburger out of it.
Yeah. You know, the thing about... go ahead. Mm-hmm.
But I do think you might see a Trump-DeSantis ticket.
You still believe that may occur?
It may occur. I know a lot of people that don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do not see that. By the way, we're talking with the master barber, Andrew Ceresi. And this is a great time. You got to get your hair cut for Easter. Easter is Sunday. You won't find a better place with a better haircut. I don't believe these two are going to be on the same ticket. I just do not. Number one, they're from
I really believe you might see them running against each other. Okay. At this point.
Running against each other, yes. Yes.
And like I say, I'd hate to see them in a debate. And by Donald Trump, I could tell you, I know the DeSantis family well enough to tell you this, that by saying the things he said about Ron DeSantis will come out swinging.
Oh, yeah. I think Ron DeSantis is kind of remembers what's the word? He waits and bides his time, but he's also got a little bit of a little kickback when somebody does something to him.
Oh, it's just a question of when. But like I say, you don't start talking about the star player.
That's right.
It's that simple.
The star player on your team. Yeah.
This kid has done a great job in Florida. And honestly, he'd do a great job in the country when it comes down to it.
I think you're right. Very interesting. As always, Andrew, thank you so very much, my friend, for your thoughts. And I'm looking forward to talking with you on Friday.
You got it, my friend. Have a good day.
And the same to you. All right, there he goes, the master barber himself. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at a U.S. congressman from Hawaii who never bothers to show up for work.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
On Sunday, April 17th, the Church of Scientology Flag Service Organization welcomes you and your family to the Clearwater Easter Family Fun Day. Join us from noon until 3 p.m. for rides, games, and refreshments at the Osceola Courtyard in downtown Clearwater. There is no cost to attend. The Osceola Courtyard is located at 201 North Fort Harrison Avenue. For more details, call 727-467-6860. That's 727-467-6860. We are looking forward to seeing you Sunday, April 17th from noon to 3 in downtown Clearwater.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
And we are back with the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for joining us. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we are so delighted you are listening to us live at this moment, but if you cannot find that time, and 10 o'clock can be a time where you're busy, you can now go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on podcast, and just click on the podcast button. You'll see the shows lined up chronologically. You'll see the last show at the top that we've done. It'll be at first one. You'll see the guest. You'll see the top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. How'd you like this job, Ed? Congressman, and by the way, he ran on a promise of giving his constituents full-time representation. He's been absent from the Capitol for most of the year. He's from Hawaii. He rarely shows up for work. He's only cast 5 votes in person. And that was back in January when he first, took office. The rest of his votes were cast by proxy. Now, because of the pandemic, Nancy Pelosi has allowed the House members to vote by proxy. You can't do that in the Senate. You got to physically be in Washington to vote in the Senate. But she's still allowing the proxy vote. So what does this guy do? He's a pilot. He's a commercial airline pilot. He has not given up that job. He makes $120,000 per year as a pilot, so he's still flying. In the meantime, he's being paid as a congressman $174,000. That's nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
And
especially since you don't have to show up at the other one.
That's correct. Yeah. He stated when he first entered Congress that his intention was to move his wife and 3 daughters to Washington to avoid the grueling 13-hour commute every week. Well, he has figured out a better way of avoiding the 13-hour grueling commute. You don't get on the damn plane to come over to Washington. And you save all of that time. In the meantime, he's flying planes, but he ain't going to Washington.
So
with the plane.
With a straight face, he said we were going to move from Hawaii and the beach to cold Washington.
Yeah, to some apartment or something in cold Washington.
So this guy must be the only other guy that has the worst attendance record other than Charlie Crist. Crist is like the top 5 or bottom 5 of attendance figures.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, he's the worst. He's one of the worst. Of the worst, yes.
Now, Charlie Crist is representing the 13th District in Congress. That includes St. Petersburg and some parts of Clearwater. And he's been there he's been everywhere, let's be honest. But I didn't realize he's not showing up. What's he doing? Getting more of a tan somewhere on the beach?
Something like that.
Well, crazy. We're going to now do our top 10. Oh, before we do our top 10, is there anything in sports news that we should know about? I see that the Rays are in the second of a...
Don't you know the Rays were 3-0 and the only undefeated team in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, they beat Baltimore 3 straight.
And then they ran into the Oakland A's and got whacked 13-2.
Oh, they did.
But they won last night in overtime, extra innings.
In overtime, yeah, we're still thinking.
They're 4-1. They're still top of the American League East right now.
Well, good for them. I mean, they're doing well. They always seem to do well. We just got to figure out a way to get more people into the park. And that maybe we'll never figure out, unfortunately.
Well, we know what it is. I mean, it's a combination of 4 things, probably. The fact that we've got ownership to keep putting their foot in their mouth and keep trying to move this team. People are spending good money. Then you've got players that these kids look up to within 3 years they're gone.
Right.
Maybe for a better player, but, tell that to a kid. You grew up watching players all your life.
Kids can't build a loyalty if all the players continue to
evolve. They lose interest, and people lose interest. You're like, what happened? What happened to Austin Meadows? I mean, he's gone.
I don't even know any of the names of the players.
That and the ticket prices. I mean, come on. I mean, $40, $50 a seat is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Just for the seat.
Maybe they ought to take some lesson from the Lightning. They seem to fill up every seat.
I would want to ask Stu, the owner, what do you prefer? Do you prefer $12,000 in the drop at full price, or lower the ticket prices and have 20,000 people in there?
Exactly.
You know, I would next time I see him, I'll ask him that.
Do that. Okay.
Next time we have lunch.
There. Very good. Have him buy. All right. Here we go. Top 10 states with the lowest gas prices. This comes from gasprices.aaa.com. So I think it's part of the American Automobile Association. Yeah. All right. Top 10. Number 10. Go to Iowa. You pay $379.9 for your. All right. And we have a tie. So another number 10. Next door, Nebraska. You get the same price, $379.9. All right, number 9. Not far away, Wisconsin. We're in the Midwest for some low prices. Isn't that interesting?
I always thought it was, you know, the closer you are to the refinery, they don't have to truck it very far. And
let's see if that's the case as we move up the line here. But Wisconsin, it's $3.75. $3.75. Number 8. Now, Georgia has some refineries, and it's $3.74.5.
Georgia's always 10, 15 cents cheaper than Florida.
Yeah. I think there are refineries.
When you go to North Carolina, as soon as you get into Georgia, you go to Valdosta and gas up.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think you're right. Number 7, South Carolina. $3.74 in South Carolina. Okay. Number 6. Now, Joe Biden's got to be proud of this. Maryland. How does Maryland get a low gas price? Maryland's $3.72. I wonder if they subsidize more.
We're talking pennies here, you know.
$3.72 in Maryland. Number 5. Arkansas. $3.70 in Arkansas. Number 4. Now, here's a state that is a refinery state, Texas. Texas is actually, it's got like a quarter cent less than Arkansas. It's around $3.70. So Arkansas, Texas, very close. Number 3, right next door to Texas. In fact, it might be the biggest oil drilling state per capita is Oklahoma. $3.67.2 in Oklahoma. Number 2, and this borders Oklahoma, Kansas. But I don't know that there are that many refineries there. But that's where there's a lot of corn. I wonder if the ethanol and all that have anything to do with it. Maybe they've been running ethanol in Kansas or something, but because it's $3.67. So there you go. All right, Ed, what do you think's number 1?
Did we say North Carolina?
We didn't, but I'm going to give you a hint. It's still in the Midwest.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Montana? I don't know.
Montana's a good guess. It does start with an M, but it's Missouri. Of all the states, Missouri is $3.66 right now for a gallon of gasoline.
You know, when I want to buy gas for my scooter, I have to get my, it's called recreational fuel. There is
really?
No ethanol in it, so it's about $5 a gallon.
Your gas is $5
yes.
a gallon now?
Well, I only got to put in a gallon and a half.
Yeah. Well, you call it a
scooter.
Cost me
$6 to fill up.
I call it a motorcycle. All right. Thanks so much. We're going to be back on Friday. Do remember, the freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZA